ahead and call our first case of the afternoon. It's case number 62944, Las Vegas Sands Corporation versus District Court. Mr. Jacobs is real party in interest. We have Mr. Morris representing the petitioners, Mr. Bice representing the real party in interest. As you can see, we've got four justices up here. Justice Hardesty is participating. He's actually watching as we're sitting here on the internet. Could not be here today, but he will participate in the decision. And Justices Pickering and Peregrine have recused from participation on this case and the next case as well. So, Mr. Morris, you may proceed on behalf of the petitioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, Justice Slater, Justice Douglas, Justice Cherry. I would like to speak for 12 minutes and reserve three over
very well.
And I'd like to begin this with, I believe, a fact that is not disputed and contested by the other side. And that's this. Sands China Limited does business in Macau and is subject to its laws, one of which is the Macau Personal Data Protection Act. And that figures prominently in this petition and the hearing on it. What brings us here is the court's, the district court's order of March 29, 2013. This order says two things that are of significance here. It says more than two things, but these are the two that are an issue. One, the district court said, Jacobs has made a prima facie showing as to a violation of this court's orders, which warrants an evidentiary hearing. She doesn't, in that order, identify the orders, if there's more than one. She doesn't identify any of the facts or the conclusions of law that lead her to conclude that he's made a prima facie showing that there has been a violation of her order. Now, what order or orders is she referring to? The district court tells us that in the last paragraph of this order, in which this language appears. This order, of course, is part of this record. But as previously ordered, Las Vegas Sands and Sands China are precluded from redacting or withholding documents based upon the Macau Personal Data Protection Act, which she abbreviates, as we have in these papers, as MPDPA. And she signs off on this. There isn't anything in this order to indicate that redacted information, which she's referring to here, has any jurisdictional or would have any jurisdictional significance. Remember, we are only here as a consequence of your order in August 2011 directing the district court to hold an evidentiary hearing on whether there is personal jurisdiction in Nevada over Sands China. And in the 3 years that have elapsed since then, we haven't been able to get to that hearing. And this order of March 29, 2013 exemplifies one of the reasons and the obstacles that the district court, I submit, has placed in our way to get to a jurisdictional hearing on the limited basis that we directed in August of 2011. One, the order to which she is referring, and I just read to you from, in the 2013 order, the last sentence in that order, the order that she is referring to is September 14, 2012. That is a sanctions order that she entered following the hearing for the defendants at Sands China and the Las Vegas Sands to explain why they had taken so long to disclose that they had bought into this country or Las Vegas Sands Corporation had brought into this country data from Macau that was covered by the Macau Personal Data Privacy Act that was not disclosed to the court prior to June 27, 2011. Now, here is, when we turn to the order that she says we violated, she says in this order from March 29, 2013, you folks have violated an order I entered in September of 2012. And that order says that you cannot, in producing information derived from Macau, you cannot, and let's look at the order she says we violated. You cannot invoke the Macau Personal Privacy Data Act, Protection Act, against admission, disclosure, or production of any documents. There isn't a word in this order about redactions, which is in her March 29, 2013 order. In point of fact, we have never invoked the Macau Personal Data Protection Act against disclosure or production. And we have not done so. We haven't invoked that act as a bar against disclosure or production in 2011 or 2012 when she entered her order.
Mr. Norris, the district court seemed to be upset, rightfully, wrongfully, about information that came in from Macau, China, to Las Vegas Sands, that she's saying was here for 11 months and no one told her that this information was here that allegedly the other side was attempting to get, that delayed the proceedings, rightfully, wrongfully. What's the gist of that?
We didn't disclose that information until after it had been in this country for some period of time, and we made explanations for it, which she disregarded, and didn't credit, that we were, at that time, concerned about whether the data that had been brought in from Macau that was not in compliance with the Macau Personal Data Privacy Act could be disclosed, could be acknowledged, without creating a separate violation under Macau law to which Sands China is and Las Vegas Sands Corporation is subject. So she held a hearing. The hearing
was like, I'm reading through the papers and I'm trying to get, as you point out, the genesis of this fight. And the district court, rightfully so, seemed to say, we were 11 months, I was not made aware of this, and I can only read through the lines, her saying, you didn't tell me this, we've been asking for something, you're telling us we can't get it, and it's been here for 11 months. Is she right, is she wrong? Shouldn't something have come to us earlier if you were disputing the right for the court to ask for it?
There's no question that we did not disclose until 11 months after the information we're talking about was in this country. And there isn't any question but that she felt that we should have disclosed it earlier. She said so. There's no question that she held a hearing in September with respect to that information and the fact that we did not disclose it earlier than we did. We voluntarily disclosed this on June 27, 2012, in a filing we did with the court, and she addressed that back on the 28th and said, well, we're going to have a sanctions hearing in September, so I can get to the bottom of why you didn't tell me about this earlier. That hearing occurred, and this order that I read to you from, September 14, 2012, was a result of that hearing. Now, when that order was entered, please keep this in mind. The information in the documents that were in this country and that had not been disclosed earlier, that information had not yet
produced.
It was not produced. And it was not produced at the time of that hearing. And so it is in that context, I submit to you, and if you read the order, I believe it's entirely consistent. We can't rely on, now that you have acknowledged, and I'm going to sanction you, which you did, and which we paid, and with which we complied. I'm going to say that with respect to this data, the data you didn't disclose earlier, you cannot now subject that to the Macau Data Privacy Act as a bar against disclosure, which had already been done, so that's redundant. You can't disclose, and you cannot introduce that act as a bar against production, which we didn't. That information was produced. And with respect to admission, the other terms you used, that hearing has yet to occur. But nonetheless, what we acknowledge and what you sanctioned us for in 2014 was a failure, in 2012, was a failure to disclose earlier that we had this unredacted data in Las Vegas, at the Las Vegas Sands. And in point of fact, following that hearing, we produced all of that information without any redactions under the Macau Data Privacy Act. This September 14 order becomes significant a year and a half later when the court says, I told you in my order of September 2012, I told you you could not redact on any basis the information under the Macau Data Privacy Act, Personal Data Protection Act, Data Privacy Protection Act. And we didn't. She didn't say a word about compliance with the law in the future. With respect to documents that were not in this country, that were not the subject of her hearing, and that may be in the future requested by the member part, one of both of the parties. With respect to that those documents, she didn't say that we could not, in producing them, we could not comply or attempt to comply with the Macau Data Privacy Act. And so, when we got her order in March of 2013, saying we violated this order of hers after the hearing with respect to documents that were produced out of Macau in the fall of, in the winter of 2012, that we could not do that, redact and comply with the Macau Data Privacy Act with respect to that.
Okay.
So that is what's at issue here.
Okay.
The order doesn't address future productions which have taken place in accordance with Macau law and personal data in accordance with the law redacted therefrom.
Great, thank you. You have about 2.5 minutes left, Mr. Morris. Mr. Bison. Mm-hmm.
It is the court, Todd Bison, on behalf of Real Party of Interest, Stephen Jacobs. I'm going to paraphrase a statement that John Stuart Mill made famous, and I'm going to modernize a little bit. But one would need nothing more to compass their ends than to have good men and women look on and do nothing. And that is what the petitioner is asking them to do, is look on and do nothing. I would submit that if a fair reading of this record would demonstrate probably some of the most egregious misconduct by litigants, then this court has any reported decision that did not result in the striking of its pleadings and a default judgment being entered. This is not a case where my colleague, Mr. Morris, claims that they just didn't disclose certain things. They affirmatively misled us. They affirmatively misled the district court, as she specifically found, and did so repeatedly over the course of about a year and a half's time frame, telling us that the documents were not here, telling us that the documents could not be produced, telling us that the documents could not even be looked at. When, in fact, the very same lawyers that were making those representations were clandestinely looking at the documents here in Las Vegas. And in fact, the documents had been copied by O'Malley and Myers and had been shipped off for the client's use in responding to government subpoenas elsewhere. This is not a case of some confusion. This is not a case about oversight. This is a case, and the district court so found, about flat-out concealment of discoverable evidence for the purposes of sabotaging the discovery, the jurisdictional discovery that she had ordered long ago. And now you are being asked to please disregard that and let that conduct go without consequence. My colleague asked that you actually draft a new term into the order. And it was rather obvious when he was making the argument. He put the word "this data" into the order, because there were volumes of data that had been brought to Macau, or been brought to Las Vegas from Macau, long before this court even entered its stay. They secured a stay from this court based upon a, what we now know, at the time, was a demonstratively false representation about the Macau Data Privacy Act and all these documents in Macau and how onerous it was going to be. When the truth was, the documents were already here. In vast majority of them were here, and they had been reviewing them even before the stay was entered by this court originally. The court convened an evidentiary hearing for 3 days and conducted that evidentiary hearing and entered a detailed order, which is the September 14, 2012 order, where she specifically found, based upon the evidence presented, and she notes in there all of the hearings that were held over the course of this year and a half, where they affirmatively misled us and affirmatively misled her as to where these documents were located. That thought she made findings that this was intentional misconduct, that this was conduct designed to sabotage and delay the jurisdictional discovery and the jurisdictional discovery hearing. We are, of course, on this side of the courtroom, a little appalled to hear them complaining about the fact that this hearing hasn't been held, when the only reason it hasn't been held is because they deceived us for an extended period of time about discoverable information. Discoverable information, which, by the way, once it started coming out, completely contradicted many of the representations that they had made when they obtained stay, and many of the representations that they had made to the district court concerning their supposed lack of contacts with the state of Nevada. In fact, many of those documents show that the entire scheme, we call it a scheme, they would dispute that characterization, of course, but the entire plan to terminate Mr. Jacobs, the execution of it, was all orchestrated in Las Vegas by people claiming to act for Las Vegas, or for Sands China, claiming to be wearing their hats as Sands China representatives. In fact, they had to manufacture letterhead for Sands China here in Las Vegas on that day in which to print this termination letter, because they didn't even have any. The entire process by which this termination went down was handled in Las Vegas by people in Las Vegas. And yet they came to you and they have sabotaged this case now for over 3 years with claims that they were not subject to personal jurisdiction because there was no ties to Nevada and what went on in this case. That is why the district court entered these detailed findings. What happens next becomes, the order is entered and says specifically, for purposes of this jurisdictional discovery and the evidentiary hearing, you'll notice it does not state, as my colleague just tried to characterize, this data. It does not say that at all. What the district court said is, you, because of this maneuver that you pulled, this dishonesty with the court, and it was a fraud on the court. It wasn't clever lawyering. It was a flat-out fraud on the judicial process, attempting to corrupt the fact-finding process to conceal the fact that they had all of these contacts with the state of Nevada. So what she said is, you will be precluded for this purposes of this evidence, for purposes of jurisdictional discovery. Notice there's not this data that they had tried to slip in today, and the evidentiary hearing. You are precluded from employing this foreign blocking statute because you did so in a dishonest and dishonorable fashion throughout the jurisdictional discovery. That order gets entered. They did not dare bring that order to this court. They did not seek any relief from it because they know what the record shows. What subsequently happens is months later, they continue to not produce documents. We have to file yet another motion to compel. The district court convenes another hearing, and she says She has had enough of this. Turned out, even after all of this had gone on, they hadn't even begun searching for documents, additional documents of additional data ports in Macau. There is some significance to that, because what happened is, what they brought back into the United States from Macau, that they didn't disclose to us and had deceived us about, was not all of the data. It was certainly a big chunk of it, but it wasn't all of it. So the district court then says that she has had enough of this. One would have thought that this September 14 order would have been enough to have gotten a reasonable litigant's attention, and I would submit it would have gotten a reasonable litigant's attention. But that's not what we were dealing with. And as a result, she entered yet another order, and she said, you will have 14 days, 2 weeks, to finally comply with this jurisdiction discovery that she had ordered over a year before, but they continued to not comply with. And she gave them only 2 weeks to do it. The reason that she gave them such a short leash is because they had been not been compliant for months and months and months and months. They specifically, and again, this is where this September 14 order then comes into play. Because what do they do after she says you have 2 weeks? Well, after telling us for this long how they couldn't get data out of Macau, they could, and the Macau government supposedly, and that's what this evidentiary hearing that she wants to schedule, I think, is all about, supposedly wouldn't let them out. But after she gave them this 2 week window, they suddenly produced documents. But what they did with these documents is they redacted everything on them. Names, the identity of any party, who they were, etc. That is plainly violative of her September sanctions order, which said you are forbidden from using that foreign blocking statute, which, by the way, the federal courts have addressed this. This is not an unprecedented attempt by litigants to employ these foreign blocking statutes not to comply with discovery. We've outlined that in our brief, that multiple federal courts have said they cannot be employed in order to obstruct discovery in the United States courtroom. So they do all this redaction. Now, these are extremely sophisticated litigants and with extremely sophisticated counsel. And there was an argument that was made once the district court called them out on this that I think demonstrated that there was no honest belief that these redactions were appropriate. Because when they were challenged on it, the story that they gave it was, well, those redactions are justified on relevancy grounds. Something that had never been done before, something that could never be accepted in any case. But that was one of the assertions they had to resort to because they knew they were violating the court's order. That is why she then convened, she announced that we had made a prima facie showing because they had redacted, they had invoked the writ, and the rationale was relevancy, which of course was frivolous, and the form on this Macau Data Privacy Act. Those were their grounds for their redactions to the documents. That, of course, is plainly violative of the point of this order, which was your abuses in the past, you have forfeited that as a grounds to not comply with discovery obligations. And that's what they did. That's why she then announced, I'm going to schedule another hearing to determine the basis for these redactions, why you did it, because it is, on its face, a violation of the order. And that's what this rule is about. This writ procedure gives new meaning to the word extraordinary, because it's extraordinary. They're asking you to please intervene and stop the district court from holding an evidentiary hearing that's going to determine what they were really doing in that two-week period relative to the production of documents.
Mr. Bess, let me ask you this, and I'll ask Mr. Morris to address this in his rebuttal. One of the reasons we scheduled this for argument was to bring to the issue you just raised, is the propriety of challenging this type of discovery order by writ, and specifically we have the Valley Health case, Douglas authored, and Aspen recently, and all like that. Is this something the court should intervene in? And I'll ask Mr. Morris to comment on that as well.
The answer is no, Mr. Chief Justice, and the reason is we have the only matter that the district court has addressed in this order is scheduling an evidentiary hearing to determine what was going to happen. The other issues that they
had protested in their pleadings have since become moot because they have had to comply with what her order was because there was no stay that excused noncompliance. So the only remaining issue that there's presently in this order that is before you is the question of can the district court convene an evidentiary hearing to find out what was going on in that two-week period after they had been for years claiming they couldn't produce documents. They suddenly were producing them, but yet they were all redacted to the hilt in violation of the terms of the order. And again, this court has entertained writ proceedings over discovery matters in two limited circumstances. One, rulings that have no limitation on relevancy, just open-ended, sweeping discovery. And two, legitimate claims of privilege that will otherwise be at risk of being lost in the event that the court does not review them at that point in time. None of that is at issue here. This order that the district court has entered is simply, right now, is to schedule a hearing to find out what was going on. As she said, they can present their evidence of what they were doing and why they were doing it. She will evaluate that in the face of whatever they present, because there some additional evidence came to light after the September 14th sanctions hearing, where they had already been in contact with the Macau government, and that wasn't produced at the time of that sanctions hearing. All of that will play into the mix of what the district court wants to evaluate in terms of what sanctions are appropriate for what is a violation of the simple, plain, and unambiguous terms of that district court's order. If they want to argue that it's not, they can present their evidence. Once she determines what the appropriate sanction should or should not be under the circumstances, that would be the time in which to bring that matter to this court's attention, whether it's by a subsequent appeal or whether it's by a direct writ to this court in the event that they had grounds to do so. But to intervene now and tell the district court, you can't even hold a hearing to find out the truth, is not an appropriate use of this court's jurisdiction by writ proceedings, I would submit, because the entire point of a trial in the district court or the district court proceeding is to determine the truth. And that's what the district court is trying to get to the bottom of on this issue. My only point, again, on the last two issues that they raised, they really didn't address my argument, is they criticized the district court saying that she had ordered them to create a redaction log if they were not going to produce the documents under some, just so that you understand the context in which this all came about, they had jurisdictional discovery terms that they were supposed to run against the database. And then, obviously, the documents would be tripped by those terms. They would be produced to us as in jurisdictional discovery. Well, they claim that a number of these documents didn't go to jurisdiction and only went to merits. Well, let me explain to you why the district court was rightly suspicious about that. Throughout the case, they had tried to claim that anything that went around Mr. Jacobs' termination was off limits to jurisdictional discovery, and I submit that the reason that they were doing that is because all of the facts about his termination occurred in Nevada, and they wanted to claim some of the material facts occurred in Nevada, and they wanted to shield that from discovery. So when they came and they said, yes, there's a bunch of documents that the jurisdictional search terms have identified, but we claim that they only go to the merits and they don't go to jurisdiction, the district court is well within its discretion to say to a party, especially these two parties who have demonstrated that they were concealing information from us on these various points, it's free to say to them, you put that on a log so that we can verify that these documents, in fact, only go to merits and not jurisdiction. My time is up, unless the court has any further questions.
Any questions?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Dice. Okay. Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. Yes, you should intervene because we're not asking you to referee a discovery dispute. We're asking you to intervene to block a sanctions hearing for violation of an order that did not interdict or prohibit us from doing what has been argued here, redactions from information in Macau. And here's a point that the respondents didn't address. We're not now talking about documents that were in this country that were addressed at the hearing in September. We're talking about documents that were requested and produced thereafter. The first jurisdictional discovery order in this case was not entered until March 2012, and that order has been complied with, including
production of all of the information without NDPA redactions that was in this country that spurred or caused the September hearing. Remember that this has been remanded to the district court. This case has been remanded to the district court to find out whether there is a basis for personal jurisdiction over Sands China. In the course of that, activity, one of the things that the court and the respondents address is the fact that, of course, Sands China is subject to jurisdiction here because Las Vegas Sands is its agent, or vice versa. We submitted a supplement in this case from Daimler versus Bauman that was decided by the U.S. Supreme Court just a few days ago, in which the court said, it's also the subject of a support for a motion to recall the mandate in this case, in which the Supreme Court said that the agency theory for jurisdiction over a foreign corporation is no longer valid. We don't uphold that. And as we said in Goodyear, and they're now going to overrule the Ninth Circuit, holding to the contrary, the fact that if a company, a foreign company, has a related corporation in this state, and it is contended that that agency relationship is sufficient for jurisdiction, no longer holds. It cannot be premised. You can't bring Sands China here and, to use the U.S. Supreme Court's word, make it at home here through an agency theory. Let me make one other point.
Yes, Your Honor.
The discovery that is an issue here was previewed to the district court on more than one occasion. We're not now talking about redacting documents that the court didn't know about. On September the 4th, when we filed a motion for protective order, again on December the 4th, December the 14th, at the hearing in December, on December 18th, before the district judge that led to this March 29 order, this is what she said, and it's in our papers with record citation to page and line. You may redact. I didn't say in my September 14, 2012 order that you couldn't have redactions. Those are her words. And in the course of her, in the course of presenting our position to her with respect to application of the Macau Data Privacy Act in the next 2 weeks, for which we had to hire dozens of Macanese lawyers to inspect those documents and redact them to comply with that foreign statute. In connection with that, we told her, it's in our papers. This is precisely what we're going to do, and this is why we're doing it, because the government of Macau will not allow those documents out of Macau without them first being subjected to review by Macanese lawyers under the Macau Personal Data Protection Act, and that is precisely what happened, and that was summarized again for her on January 8, 2013, when we filed our report that said what we had done and to comply with her order that she announced on December 18th, in the course of which she said, I didn't say you couldn't have redactions. And in exchange with Mr. Jones, Randall Jones, who is here now, he told her, and she agreed with him, that this is going to be a complicated proceeding.
Okay, Devin, you're going to stop there. Mr. Morris, let me ask you, Mr. Bice, one question just for clarification of the record. Now, Sands China is a Cayman Islands corporation. I assume it's publicly traded in Hong Kong. Sands China, it's not traded in the United States.
Right, it's in the Hong Kong Stock Exchange.
Okay, and what percentage of Sands China does Las Vegas Sands own? Is it more than 50% or?
I believe it's more than 50%.
Okay. 70? Okay. Approximately. I just wanted to
more than 50.
Okay. Just to say that.
That I believe is a one-word response. So, Morris, if we accept your position, and set forth both in your pleadings and here today, then you would similarly have to assume that Judge Gonzalez is confused and doesn't understand her own directives?
The answer to that is yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you both. Just stay seated here. We'll get to the next case. In this case, we'll stand submitted.